KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. Today it's just me and Emily. And we're going to be going over, several different things that are, different laws that are happening out there, an update on trails. And we were talking about this earlier today. It was posted earlier this morning by Andrew Goff about a pedestrian hit and run that took place on Samoa Boulevard in Arcata. And it looks like they have, finally arrested the person who is suspected of causing this critical injury, which is certainly good news.
Yeah, certainly good news. Never good news to look at the news and see yet another hit and run.
I know, especially since we were just talking about pedestrian safety on Happy Trails just last couple of weeks. So
yeah.
And I know that area of Samoa Boulevard in Arcata has. They've recently redone the thing, making it a little bit more pedestrian friendly, slowed speeds down, but still, DUI does appear to be a factor in this case, and the gentleman who was hit is in critical condition, has been flown out of the area, at least still alive at this point, but going at speeds, it looked like, according to the previous article, about 45 miles an hour. That does not look good.
No, and just thinking about getting hit at 40 miles per hour is like being thrown off a four-story building. It's the same amount of impact.
Yeah, it's
and that's amazing. Something to really just to keep in mind when you're driving anywhere. And what's interesting is the California Assembly has been considering a bill that would authorize the use of the emergency alert system in the event of a hit and run. And because hit and runs are, it's becoming even more prevalent, not only here, but in larger cities as well. And this would give law enforcement one more tool to be able to apprehend the driver involved.
No, I'm all for it. I mean, it seems so despicable. I mean, for someone to cause this accident to begin with is horrible, but then to then just flee the scene, denying any responsibility, is just amazing. Truly amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we wish the victim of this the best of luck, because he will need it. That is for sure. He was unresponsive when emergency vehicles made it to the scene.
Yeah, and thinking about just Samoa Boulevard and all the work that the City of Arcata and Caltrans have done on that corridor has really... really increased the vibrancy of that neighborhood. There's more businesses that are coming into Samoa Boulevard. So I think when you start to see even more people walking along Samoa Boulevard, that hopefully will also encourage kind of more slower driving speeds as well. So I think that neighborhood is really starting to thrive. And so I think there'll be less of a likelihood of having these things, happen in the future.
Absolutely.
Also, the City of Arcata is, currently undergoing construction for their Rail with Trail project through the city proper. And so
Fantastic.
That will, and we've been talking about that a bit, but if you're in Arcata, you can see the construction happening, right now, and you can see the corridor that the trail will be taking from Foster Avenue and Sunset all the way down to Samoa Boulevard. And so for this phase of the project, the trail will end at Samoa Boulevard, but the city will be working with Caltrans to ensure a really safe crossing of the trail to continue to head south across Samoa Boulevard, kind of parallel to the train tracks there that you cross on Samoa, and head through the marsh and down to Breakhead. So that will be something that will be happening in the next couple years to really improve that trail crossing when the trail does cross.
Oh, that's fantastic. So when they're crossing Samoa Boulevard, is it going to be a light there, or how's that going to work?
Well, I think the city and Caltrans are exploring different options, but one of the options that the city and Caltrans may explore is a pedestrian activate, or a pedestrian or bike activated light. And these have been I think the first one that was implemented here on the North Coast was up in Crescent City on 101. And so a pedestrian can hit the light, and there's a series of flashing lights to warn drivers, and then it goes red. So that may be one option. There's the pedestrian-activated kind of flashing crosswalk that is, further down 255, near closer to 101. So that could be an option. So there's definitely options to make a safe crossing.
Excellent. Well, that is good to know, because as we know, it can be a pretty treacherous crossing there. And it's very exciting to see that this first phase of the Bay Trail is going through. I mean, at this point, just going to Bray Cut, it's a trail to nowhere. But the reality is if this is halfway built, it makes it a lot easier to get the funding to move forward for the rest of it.
Yeah, and I think what the city is really planning so that it's not necessarily a trail to nowhere, but that it is a destination point, and that Bray Cut could hopefully serve kind of as a trailhead as well for recreational trips along the bay, kind of to go from Bray Cut to the marsh. So I think there's going to be it's going to be a great standalone kind of segment until. It's until we can get further south to connect to Eureka.
That's right. And that, of course, is the more touchy part, since we're dealing with much narrower areas, a crossing of the slough. It's there's definitely some challenges to getting that part put together.
Yeah, and we'll be talking with Hank Seaman from Humboldt County Public Works next week.
Excellent.
And we'll be getting a lot of updates, particularly on the Bay Trail and on the McKay Community Forest Trail planning, and Andy and Mary.
Excellent.
And some other projects of the need to replace the Hammond Bridge over the Mad River. So we'll be talking about a lot of local trail updates with Hank.
Excellent. Always great having him on the show. A font of knowledge.
Yes, no kidding.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah, it is very exciting, and touching on news that connects to the Bay Trail, of course, the Eureka Waterfront Trail is going full steam ahead as well, connecting, of course, to Hickshari and going all around the city of Eureka, which is got to be fantastic.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have the Eureka Waterfront Trail complete by 2017 at the latest, so that's very exciting. So we're getting close.
Yeah, that really is amazing. I mean, just that alone is going to be just a superb trail. It's just Hickshari alone is wonderful, but having it connect all the way around the city of Eureka, that's going to be fantastic. And it'll also get cyclists off of Broadway and 101 in general, which is great news. Much safer and much more scenic too.
Yeah, definitely much more scenic. And a great way to get across 101 without having to cross it, at the same level as cars.
Absolutely.
Because this will provide a underpass under 101 at Eureka Slough. So that's very exciting. Kind of on similar news with Eureka, the police chief had been proposing a new bicycle ordinance that would kind of prohibit sidewalk riding in residential areas or in commercial areas, any place where there's a commercial or a public building. Also kind of to talk about where you can lock up your bike and kind of how long. And this kind of flew by the Transportation Safety Commission, but it had really come up from the police chief for, I think this might have been the third or fourth iteration. And it got nowhere at the city council. So I think there was a recognition that there was really enough kind of laws on the books to really encourage safe riding on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And also that it really may unfairly kind of call out kind of one kind of transportation mode for kind of too much, really putting an unfair kind of advantage or unfair
scrutiny.
Unfair scrutiny. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so that vet is probably not going to come back for a while. So.
Well, it definitely was not without its controversy. That is for sure.
Yeah, and really, there is enough laws on the books to stop cyclists that are riding without lights at night, that are riding the wrong way on one-way streets, that are really endangering pedestrians on the sidewalk. So hopefully,
I know the fear was that it was going to wind up targeting cyclists who were doing absolutely nothing wrong, and that is really the vast majority of cyclists. But there are those out there that do violate the laws, and as the city council cited, that there are already laws on the books about that.
Yeah, so I think the council heard a lot from the public about this, so I think their decision reflects that.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Yeah. So with other updates, I guess what is often less exciting but really means a lot is we're getting into almost the new fiscal year. So a lot of budget decision making is kind of being made around this time. And why that's important is really ensuring that funding for vibrant, healthy communities, bicycle and pedestrian and trail projects are really included at federal decisions and at our kind of state California legislature's decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking probably for years about the federal transportation bill and how we keep going through a kind of cycle of reauthorization without actually solving the problem of how we're going to fund our nation's infrastructure. So we've talked about the proposals to increase the gas tax that hasn't been increased in decades and how the gas tax currently does not fund what is needed to improve our roads and highways and bridges. So the federal government keeps kicking that can down the road, but there's always threats to cutting funding from a diversity of transportation modes. So there's currently a concern a concerted effort to cut kind of all designated funding for bicycle and pedestrian and trail projects at the federal level.
Boom.
There's proposals to really slash funding to the TIGER program that funds large, innovative projects that there's often been a lot of bicycle and pedestrian projects associated with this, to cut funds for Amtrak. So really, kind of all of these are cutting funds where there's not this recognition that really in the last 10 years, the U.S.'s kind of suite of transportation modes has really diversified. People are walking and biking and taking transit a lot more frequently. So there's always threats of that, especially now that we're heading into a new fiscal year. So there's a lot of kind of national organizations working on that. And then at the state level, there's also really a push to ensure that states are kind of using at least 2% of their federal funds that they get on bicycle and pedestrian projects. And why this kind of 2%, it seems like a small amount, especially when kind of bicycle and pedestrian involved collisions make up about 13 to 16% of all collisions.
Mm-hmm.
We know that kind of on a daily basis, there's 9 to 10% of people are walking to get somewhere they need to go. But 2% is the amount of funds that states get from the federal government that's sort of earmarked for bicycle and pedestrian projects. And 18 states contribute at least 2% of their federal funds to bike ped projects. And interestingly, California is not one of them.
Really?
California certainly contributes other state funds to bicycle and pedestrian projects. But that is interesting. There's always room to improve really as a state with how we're allocating funding based on how much people are walking, how much people are using the bus, how much people are biking. So always room to improve there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of surprising. You would think California would be kind of leading the the pack, but that's not the case.
Yeah, well, there are other things that California is doing a good job at. So we just had the active transportation program call for projects, and this was at the state level, really one of the only places to get bicycle and pedestrian and trail funding. So from our, from Humboldt County, there were pretty much every jurisdiction put a proposal in, if not multiple projects. So we'll be hearing about those at the end of the summer, if any of those were funded. And our region did really well last year. But that active transportation program, the funding for that is always sort of up in the air. How much will it be? Will it still kind of be around? So the governor's budget did not include any increases for the active transportation program, although there was a lot of a call to really see that happen. But fortunately, it's looking like the legislature may increase funding for bicycle and pedestrian projects, increased by $25 million from the cap and trade program. And nice. So the cap and trade program really has been funding more transit projects and projects having to do with climate change. So this is one option to increase that funding source. So California has other funding sources and has been creative in really making sure that that funding is utilized to combat climate change and also to really help create more vibrant communities in the state.
Excellent. Well, I think it's a great use of cap and trade, which is obviously designed to reduce greenhouse gases, to go towards something like alternative transportation, which of course helps with greenhouse gases as well.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll be kind of staying on top of that, and that'll kind of be happening in the next sort of few months of making those budget decisions at the state level.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Was there anything else we needed to touch on before we wrap it?
Well, another exciting thing that we'll be kind of hearing about more is, and we touched on this before, that Caltrans has adopted the state legislator has adopted the use of protected bike lanes or cycle tracks as an allowed sort of bikeway design at the state level, and for local jurisdictions to have the freedom to use that tool as well. And so Caltrans has actually really been soliciting a lot of input on the design guidance and design standards for these cycle tracks, and has not just been working within Caltrans to make those guidelines. They've really been engaging a lot of different organizations to make that happen. So we'll be seeing that in the next couple weeks. But
excellent.
It really opens up another tool to have a bikeway that is within the sort of streetscape but is separated from motor vehicle traffic, and a lot more about a design that you see a lot more in Europe and other places that are shown to have a lot of safety benefits.
Excellent. All right. Emily, thanks again for pulling us together. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Cliff.
You
a
bet.
Lot going on, and look forward to next week.
Absolutely. And this conversation on Happy Trails will be a podcast, as all conversations are. You'll find it at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.